Welcome to Ideagen Insights.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ideagen's official podcast series focusing on topics of interest to internal auditors across Europe and North America in 2023. My name is Stephanie Jones, and I am the product manager for internal audit here at Ideagen. In each episode of our podcast series, we will look at a specific topic and evaluate the impact it will have on internal audit departments. And in today's episode, we will be discussing optimizing audit and risk. And I am very pleased to be joined by Stuart Wills, who is the Divisional Head of Risk at Capita. So, Stuart, would you like to introduce yourself further?
Yes, thank you, Stephanie, and thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor to be invited to take part. I'm really excited about this. So my current role is Divisional Head of Risk within a large business process service provider, Capita, as you just pointed out. And I've worked in Capita now for almost the last 10 years in a variety of risk, audit, and assurance roles. And then prior to that, was in another large outsourcer in a risk and assurance role. So both of those roles were within a second line capability, and we're fundamentally providing advice, guidance, and insight on risk and assurance matters. But prior to that, I spent 6 years working in an operational capacity. So that was working in a first line capacity, delivering services through a car rental company, and then through a large welfare to work company. So I know Stephanie will probably talk about three lines at some point today, but you know, my experience really spans the three lines. And I think that helps me to have a really good understanding of how they each work.
Great. Thank you, Stuart. And since you mentioned it, let's just dive right in. So for those that may not be aware of what the three lines are, can you just give us a brief overview of the lines?
Yeah, sure. So the first line really is the line that's responsible for owning and managing risk and delivery. So within any organization, the first line is fundamentally management. That's their role. That's their reason for being there. The second line is essentially support functions and services that are there to support management to deliver their objectives. So in this example, risk, but it could also be compliance or health and safety and many others that really you'd consider to be second line. Third line is a lot easier to define because really that's internal audit. And it's functionally independent and objective from those operational delivery areas. And it's there really to give that assurance, advice, and insight into the control environment and how it operates at first line. So I think three lines is a really important model and really helps you to understand what your role is at each of those lines within a business. There are other areas, of course, that talk about fourth line, which is external audit. But for people who are listening to this, I think really the first three lines are the most important.
I love that because sometimes in my past experience as an internal auditor, as that third line, sometimes we're told by people in my organizations that internal audit owned all of the risks, all of the controls within an organization. And that's not true. As you mentioned, Stuart, that first line, that business line is really responsible for owning and managing their risks and controls and as the doers of the organization. So Stuart, given that description of the lines, and thank you for that, what impact can strong integration and collaboration between the second and third lines, particularly risk and internal audit, what impact can an integration and collaboration have if they're aligned within an organization?
I think it's a really interesting question. So if you read some of the recent position papers, and I was reading one earlier from the Institute of Internal Auditors Australia, they did a position paper recently on whether or not internal audit and risk should work collaboratively or not. And what was interesting to me was that they didn't really conclude either way whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, and actually pegged it based on the size of the organization and said fundamentally where possible, if you're big enough, then having separate internal audit and risk functions is preferable. For me, I've never worked in an organization, despite their size. So the current one that I work for is 50,000 people, that's had the resources to really have a properly split internal audit and risk function. So although I operate in a second line function at present, we work very closely with the third line. And I think for me, one of the biggest things that we get from that is leveraging best value skilled resources. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult, certainly in the UK anyway, very difficult to find a really experienced and skilled risk practitioners and internal audit practitioners. And for organizations who only have a very limited budget, trying to find both of those is difficult. So however that you can get those individuals to work together, you can essentially leverage that skill and expertise and share it amongst the individuals that work for your organization. So I think that being able to leverage resources is really important as a first thing. I think the second way that they can work very well together is sharing information. So if you look at the three lines model, there is a backwards and forwards arrow between the second and the third lines where they're meant to share information back and forth. So, for example, internal audit are going to be able to give risk management an idea of what sort of themes they're seeing in terms of emerging risks and emerging challenges for an organization. Mm-hmm. They're also potentially going to be able to give you benchmarking or best practice information. So that's incredibly helpful for a risk management function. Sharing backwards, risk management can give information of the types of risks they're seeing that are crystallizing or occurring. They can also give a view of the organizational culture because they're a little bit closer to the first line than the third line is. And they can also give a view of where the first line is taking more risk than it should. So taking risk outside of the organization's appetite. And again, one of the roles of internal audit at third line is to flag where that's occurring. But of course, trying to find it is difficult. So that sharing and that collaboration between second and third line is really important for that. I think the other way that that is really beneficial is internal audit should be operating a risk-based audit plan. That risk-based audit plan could sometimes have been set almost 12 months in advance. And as much as we talk in internal audit about that risk-based plan being risk-based, the risk environment moves all the time. It changes and it fluctuates and the challenges for an organization change. And risk management as a function can help internal audit to almost relook at that plan, whether it's on a monthly or a quarterly basis, to decide truly whether it's still risk-based or whether it needs to be adjusted and changed. I think the main other way that I see the integration and collaboration working is just an opportunity to really just build a team and build a team of like-minded individuals and like-minded experts and to form a bit of a community. I've heard it said that internal audit and risk can both be quite lonely professions. And I would say that there's been times in my career where it has felt a little bit lonely. So any opportunity, even if it's to just collaborate and bounce ideas around is really valuable between them.
I agree, Stuart, with everything that you just said there completely. I really like how you talked about just that two-way arrow between second and third line and how important that is from an information perspective, especially because I do think there's a lot that could be done there. I know here at IdeaGen, we have software that serves both the second line and the third line. And as I look to how we can have integration points from a software perspective to support what organizations are doing, I've gone out and asked and tried to do some voice of customer to see kind of where those are. And I feel like right now there's just a lot of opportunities for improvement in providing that level of communication, whether it is via software tools or, me walk as the internal auditor and the chief audit executive walking down the hallway to someone else's office, who's the risk management, who's the risk officer and talking to them. But it feels like there's a lot of opportunity there. So what areas do you feel need the most alignment, and how can the second line and the third line get to that point where they are having that back and forth two-way communication and information sharing? And I know you mentioned one hurdle might be just finding the right resources for those roles, but are there other kind of hurdles that you think get in the way of that?
Yeah, I think for me, so just speaking from my experience, the culture of the organization is a big hurdle that we don't talk about very often and that we should talk about. So if you look at that three lines model, with all the information and communication flow that should occur on it, it's very difficult to have that sort of information flow if, for example, the organization you work in doesn't receive bad news well at the top or doesn't encourage bad news to flow. And of course, I'm not suggesting that everything a risk function or an internal audit function touches is bad news. Opportunity is an upside of risk, a really important one. And IA can give lots of advice and guidance to help organizations be better. But actually, if we're honest, a lot of the time we are dealing in the bad news stuff or the things that could and does go wrong. Mm-hmm. A real challenge within an organization then is getting that culture right. So, for example, if you've got a first line that is keen to fix things before they come to the attention of the board or come to the attention of senior management, the risk function may find out about those things through supporting with administration of the risk management process. The IA function is not necessarily going to find out about that at third line, and particularly if first line isn't keen on second line telling third line, the communication can get broken really quickly. I think that's the biggest that I can think of that people haven't done to death already, Stephanie, because, of course, we could talk a lot about, you know, as you said, the tooling and how we use that to help people communicate. We could talk about clarity of communications, but it is that culture that I think really supports it. And that starts at the top. That starts with the senior management and the board setting that expectation that that's how the organization will operate. And making it safe for management to operate in that way. That's a very difficult thing to do, particularly with established organizations and established people. But that, I think, is probably the biggest change that you could do to improve that alignment, not just between risk management and internal audit, but across the three lines.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thank you. I think that you brought up a really good point, which is you almost took it a layer above the three lines and said, what can the organization itself help with, whether that's executive management or whoever is at that utmost highest level in setting the right culture and setting the right tone at the top that we all hear about. And things about, you know, receiving bad news well, and how can the culture impact the optimization of that second and third line? I think that's a really interesting point. So, I mean, other than just establishing the proper culture and that tone, is there anything else that you think that executive managers and leaders of organizations can do to promote or encourage this alignment between all three lines?
Yeah, I can give you an example of something that we've done bottom up that I think if it was done executive level top down, it would have been better and more strategic, which is setting up monthly touch points between risk management and internal audit. So this is something that's organically developed where I am at present, but you could very easily, as a senior management team, set those spaces up for risk management and internal audit to meet up and discuss key things relevant for them. So, for example, in my space, one of the things that the internal audit function want to talk through is the top-level risks that face the division that I work in. They want to understand whether those risks have got bigger, smaller, whether we've added new ones, what they look like. And that fundamentally shapes their audit plan. And I think where I work at the moment, the internal audit team operate a mixture of thematic audit and also targeted audit, which is genuinely risk-based. So they are reviewing their calendar quarterly, monthly, as required, really, to address the risks that are faced by the organization. So putting in those structures is really important. I think the other thing beyond that, actually, is giving that level of latitude to the second and third lines to do what we're trained to do, really. So the reason that we share that information in that way is because that's what we're trained to do. So my background is I'm a CIA, Certified Internal Auditor, although I currently work in a second line function. So I'm aware of the requirements and the standards around risk-based auditing. But any risk management professional should be aware of how internal audit works. Similarly, internal audit share with me emerging challenges that they see across the group of companies that I work in. So areas that I may need to consider for my risk universe that I haven't necessarily thought of. So one really good example of that, Stephanie, is the organization that I work for works across Europe at present, although the division I work in is fundamentally UK focused. Mm. Now, there'll be issues that emerge around globalization, around data protection, that I wouldn't necessarily have on my radar if it wasn't for our internal audit function talking about how they're becoming more and more important in our European operations. So that's a really good way of starting to share that information. So I think, again, if you think about how senior management could structure this, it's about giving that time and space and permission for internal audit and risk management to mm-hmm. talk to each other. I don't know about you, Stephanie. I know you've worked in internal audit. But for me, I think sometimes internal audit focuses on being independent and objective and uses it as a barrier for essentially staying away from everybody, which I don't think is at all what was intended with the idea of being independent and objective. And I think actually, if you look at internal audit and their management, it's about taking a really pragmatic view of what it means to be independent and objective. Doesn't mean sitting in an island elsewhere from everyone else. It means maintaining that level of a detachment in terms of your decision making. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't talk to everyone. I don't know whether you've seen that in your practice before.
I have. And I actually, you read my mind, Stuart, because that was what I was going to bring up next. And I wrote down independence and objectivity, because those are key principles that auditors do stand behind and are very protective of, right? And you know, they want to maintain that because that's what we're told we need to do. So I think we almost need to look at it in the light of, yes, auditors should maintain a level of independence and objectivity, but what does that mean necessarily? It doesn't mean like what you said about sit there, not ever talk to anyone else and just come in and start to evaluate and provide assurance. But it's how can we really blend that all together? I like what you mentioned around having those monthly touch points, because sometimes I feel, and I don't know if you ever felt like this, but as an auditor, you almost feel pressure to find something in some ways. Otherwise it's like, why are we here? You know, we want to make sure that we don't want it to be seen that the audit report never finds anything, because then it's like, we want to give confidence that we are looking at the right things and all of that. And I think that when internal audit starts to work more with risk management, and when risk management is working with the business line managers too, and that should elevate, and I mean, that's a positive for an organization. That should mean that things are better controlled, that risk is being, in an ideal world, that's the goal that we're all looking for, is a very well-controlled environment and people are looking at risks and internal audit comes in, and if there is anything to find, they find it. But again, that goes to the culture that you mentioned as well. If all three lines are working well together and are optimized, then I would expect there to be less things that are found from an audit perspective, and the culture being then that's okay.
Agreed. I think it's really interesting, and we could probably speak for ages on this, around mm-hmm. perhaps the pressure that internal auditors feel to find things, which is a really interesting discussion point, because mm-hmm. I agree with you. I've been there, and sometimes it does feel like I must find something. There must be something going on here. What am I not seeing? Mm-hmm. And I can't decide, Stephanie, if that's to do with how we're trained or if it's to do with the fact that perhaps we usually find things, and therefore when we don't, it feels odd. Or perhaps we're concerned that people are pulling a fast one on us and we're not seeing it. And I think, again, you know, one of the ways that I found of bridging that, so when I've managed internal audit teams, been very clear with my team that it's okay not to find things, because ultimately you should be finding strengths and commending them. And actually, that is partially how you validate. Actually, you know, there was nothing to find. I think the other part that everyone forgets is that we're there to give advice, assurance, and insight. There's always things that people could do better. There's a fine line to tread there because, of course, you get into diminishing returns where, yes, you could employ, you know, sort of an extra 10 heads to do a certain thing and lift a KPI from 98 to 99%. But again, for those of us who've worked in the first line, you'll know that that's not an investment that you're likely to make when you can invest the money elsewhere. So there is definitely a temptation to find things that are improvements, yes, but don't make any business sense. And there's definitely a space here for making sure that people, auditors, are able to be confident that when they've done an audit and things are green or a satisfactory or strong, whichever terminology you wish to use, but that's genuinely the case and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Risk management is very interesting from that perspective because actually a lot of the time when you have a risk register and when you have principal level risks, so large risks that cover a, you know, cover a company, one of the things that is incredibly disconcerting, at least for me, is firstly, they're not often green because if they were, and I'm using red, amber, green loosely, Stephanie, but you know, in terms of whether they're inside of tolerance or outside, let's just for the sake of this talk about red, amber and green. They're often not green because if they were, they wouldn't be present on that risk register at sort of board level or sort of senior management level. The other thing that's disconcerting is they don't move very quickly. They don't get better very quickly. And I think that's where sometimes internal audit perhaps struggle to integrate with risk management, because when you're working with risk management at a very senior level, so a strategic level, not a tactical level, things don't move quickly. And in internal audit, I think sometimes, particularly when you are a more junior auditor or a middle middle auditor, you're used to going and doing an audit, delivering actions. Those actions get monitored and you get them closed, and they might be shut within 3 to 6 months. Some things will take a long time to fix on a risk register. And I think that understanding between second and third line, particularly when you get to the more strategic levels, is really important.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel, Stuart, that there's a lot of opportunity, and I'm going to ask you to generalize here, just from maybe companies that you've worked with or your peer risk professionals and audit, internal audit professionals, do you feel like overall organizations are optimizing their three lines, or do you feel like there's a lot of opportunity there to really find those opportunities to have monthly touch points, like you mentioned, sharing of communication, the right tooling in place? I mean, overall, do you feel like this is something that we still need to talk about and try to just evangelize how important this is?
Yeah, I think you're right when you say generalize, because a lot of my answer is probably going to come from where I'm currently working, which is probably then very unfair on people who are absolutely at the cutting edge of this. But the organization that I'm working in is currently embedding a three-line structure. So at the moment, has it optimized it? Well, it hasn't, but I wouldn't expect it to have done either, because ultimately we're trying to build the house and we're at the foundations and building the walls, and the optimization comes at the end, really. You can do some of it as you go, but we are working very hard to embed that sort of structure at present. But I think in general, I think there is a good adoption of the three lines model, but I think it is probably very siloed from the experience I've had at looking at other organizations and working them. It's incredibly siloed. And that's where I think the optimization comes. Now that's less obvious and has its own challenges when the organizations are smaller, because of course you can't have the sort of silos, because you might have a combined second and third line function, or you might have a chief audit executive who's also a chief risk officer. So you get a level of optimization, for want of a better expression, but that has its own problems around independence, objectivity, which you've spoken about, and also your ability to cover the areas that you need to cover. So I think, to generalize for your typical large organization, yes, there's definitely work to be done to get people at the various lines to work more collaboratively and to achieve more together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I think for those listening to this podcast, there are small things and there are bigger things that can happen, right? No matter where you are in this journey of optimization. I think that number one, whether it's from a risk perspective or an internal audit perspective, but just communicating within your organization that there are in fact these lines, these three lines, that those are distinct functions or it, you know, ideally are distinct functions. That's all endorsed, if you will, by the Institute of Internal Auditors. It's their model. So this isn't just internal audit coming up with this or risk coming up with this. This is our industry coming up with this model. Communicating that out, that's even a thing. I think also you mentioned earlier agility. And I think that no matter how big or small your organization is or your internal audit department is, you can incorporate agile practices. We had another podcast earlier with Raven Catlin around how to be more agile in your internal audit practices. But you're exactly right, Stuart, when you said, and I've worked in organizations where this has happened, where you spend the last few months of the calendar year building this very waterfall internal audit plan that then you'll look at over the next coming 12 months and typically wouldn't change. But having the ability to be able to adjust and pivot as necessary becomes really important. And I believe that no matter how big or small your audit department or organization is, you can embed some of that within there at any point. And then I think the end goal, and tell me if you disagree, but I think the end goal is worth striving for. And that is having risks managed, whether they're strategic level risks or process level risks, KPIs that are telling you how those risks are doing, as well as input from the risk owners, and then having that be communicated to internal audit so they can step in if they need to come in and look at something. And then they communicate those results back. Here's what we found.
Absolutely agree with that. I mean, you've raised so many good points in there. And I think perhaps that's where sometimes this gets really challenging for organizations, because they want things like key risk indicators. They hear about them and think, I really want key risk indicators. But that only works if it's supported by first line, second line, and third line who understand what a key risk indicator is, if they buy into the principle of it, if they then understand how they can all support each other. And the other thing I like that you've said, I really like this, is that ultimately everyone's pulling towards the same goal. You know, the first line is there to deliver the organization's aims and objectives, whatever those are. So, you know, whether it's charitable, whether it's private sector profit making, you know, that's their role. It's to deliver the organization's objectives. And second and third line should be there to support in that. I think, yeah, exactly as you've just said, really, all those things, when you put them together, work really well. It's just also getting them embedded in the right order. So I think for me, it's more important that the first line understand fundamentally what a risk is and then how you go about managing it, and how that can support them to either escalate areas that are not going so well within the organization such that they can get help and support, or how they can monitor them. Before you then go about looking at the tooling and then embedding the tooling that goes alongside it. I think sometimes I've seen organizations go for the tooling and the structure and the software first, and find it doesn't quite deliver what they thought it was going to deliver because they don't understand the fundamentals. Thinking back to our earlier piece around how could you embed this more as effectively as possible, that's definitely one of the ways, is trying to improve understanding, particularly in the first line, of the role in second and third line, but also at first line, what a risk is and how you manage it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And that's our challenge here at IdeaGen, is to provide that tooling and support how organizations optimize these lines. And help, also help organizations. So if they need assistance in, you know, what can we offer to promote that level of engagement and communication back and forth? So I don't think that software, as you said, I don't think software should dictate how you do something, but it should be a tool that helps you get to your end goal. So Well, very good. Any other kind of final thoughts, Stuart, before we sign off here?
I think probably my overall final thought on this is that as much as we talk about three lines, the challenge then becomes that we talk about three lines. We talk about something that sounds like it's siloed, and it really, really shouldn't be. And to be effective, it mustn't be. So I think that would be my key takeaway is that, yes, important that we have three lines, but very, very important that actually they all work together and deliver the same goal.
Well, thank you so much, Stuart. And if someone wants to hear more about this from your perspective, where can our listeners find you?
The easiest place to find me is on LinkedIn. So happy for anyone to get in touch if they've got any questions through there. Again, you know, in terms of LinkedIn, I find it a fantastic place to learn things. I'm always learning in this space. The fantastic thing about risk is that it doesn't stand still, neither does internal audit. So I'd be really happy to hear from individuals to get in touch to, you know, discuss anything that we've talked about here or to give me some new perspectives and insights.
Well, thank you again, Stuart, so much for your time today. I appreciate your input and your experience that you shared with us, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate that as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Ideagen Insights.